Yeah. In other words, this is all new knowledge you're getting. This is why we always said rewrite was where it's at, and work towards being eligible for it, because you would we don't tell this stuff unless you get to rewrite. Now, look what you would have not known. I mean, this really, and we're just beginning with this chart. You know, where we get into better explanations of it as Ion comes in. So I'm looking at ring seven. That's a very complex interfacing between the first six rings and the outer seven rings. So then we go to ring eight.
It's almost like a wall, Bob. It's almost like a wall of like a citadel or something up on a hill.
Where do you get that idea from? We're talking about chemicals and angels and beasts. Why would you think of a citadel? And what do you mean? The whole cell? The whole thing?
Well, I'm looking at it, you know, from the top down.
Yeah, right.
And if I was in an airplane and I flew over a citadel where they actually had a... It would look like the walls of the citadel. You know what
right.
I mean?
You are 100% correct, Sue. You know what it is? It's the Temple of Solomon.
It is the Temple of Solomon.
Yeah, and we will go... That's the third level. We don't get that. It's not in the notes, but that's exactly right. This is a picture of the original Temple of Solomon where a lot of amazing stuff went on.
Wow.
Okay, my phone's going to kick me out, so don't say anything too important.
Right, so it will happen any minute, and then Ion will let you back in?
Correct.
Okay, so Ion's on that, I guess. So if you, when you come back, just tell us what you last heard.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll carry on here.
Yeah. I want to thank Ion for allowing my computer to print out both of the charts, the black and white angel chart and the color angel chart, because I've never been able to print out anything.
Well, thank yourself.
Thank me. I'm impressed. Tell Ion I'm impressed.
With yourself.
Ion, I am impressed. Yes.
Because it's Ion is not your non-physical. It's a whole new dimension of your non-physical. So you should thank yourself, your own non-physical. You should thank Ion for making you know about this stuff.
Yeah.
I guess.
Do.
But then apparently you set it up so you would get to know it.
Yay for me.
Yeah, don't even thank Ion.
Yay for all of us.
You're amazing, Sue.
Yeah.
You know, that color chart is terrific. And I noticed that she's got all the numbers on each level, too.
Oh, you know what? That was just me scribbling. I didn't have time. I would have taken them out if you guys, if I had a little bit more time. I didn't think Bob wanted me to send this right away.
I see. I didn't even notice that. Beside the E, there's a 5 and S. Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
And the 4. Do I see a 3? Where's the 3?
It's at the end of Drabi.
Oh, yeah. Orbit? Up in the 11 o'clock zone.
Orbit.
Yeah, 11 to 3. And then 2. Oh, yeah, under the Z. And you didn't have to put 1 in, did you?
No.
Okay, so we're going to ring 8. And you'll see on the 1 o'clock section, it says Psi-Eem. And then 3 o'clock, Bizkaza. The Hi-Dean. We joked that was, you know, the angel chart saying hi to Carolyn. Hi, Dean. You know, and you know, I don't say, of course that's what it said, but maybe tongue in cheek. I don't know. Okay, so then Demo and Meg. So you see those 7 things. What did Thatcher say they were?
This is also some of Jenny's notes in here, Bob, and yours.
And mine, right. Ring 8, 7 names, 7 crosses, markers of delineation. New DNA replication via RNA, practical aspects of you, the social zone. Okay, now we've moved out of the inner chemistry, sort of like your insides. Now we're going to deal with the social environment around you. And so now comes in ring 8, the different ways you establish your identity. You could call it ego, vanity, or your social self in relation to others, right? You're beginning to interact in the outer world, so to speak, and you're dealing with frequencies. So... you even have in Psi-Eem, it looks like me. save me. These are the concerns of the social self, the ego. But remember, it's evolving, so it's actually overcoming these or putting them in the right vibration of interpretation. Is Renee still here? Renee, is she trying to get back?
Is Ion still here?
Yeah, she said to wait.
Yeah, we can't go forward too much. Ion,
hey, Bob, can we have a one-minute break? I got to run upstairs.
Well, you can just do that on mute, but we are going to break. We're going to try to get Renee back. Now, how do we do this,
Bob,
Ion?
Bob, can you do me a favor and call me back on that other line, too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Are you going out?
Well, this battery's going to die, but I don't have any minutes on this line. I got unlimited minutes on that other line.
So the 2012 number?
No, the 499-714.
Okay. I'll call that in a minute. All right. It's going to die any second, right?
Yeah.
So I will call that, and we got to get Renee. So, Ion, open it up, Ion.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Where's Ion?
Well, Ion takes things literally. I might have said something like, don't say anything until we finish. So then he takes that literally.
I don't think you can let Renee back in. Ion,
yeah.
Can you let Renee in?
Ion, come back.
there it is. Thank you, Ion. Okay, I'm going to hang up and call Steve. No, I'm going to call Renee first to see if she got in or something like that. Maybe are we supposed to wait? Like Renee might have gotten frustrated and think she can't get back in.
Ion, are you there?
No, he clicked them. He released it. So I'm going to have to go upstairs, get Renee's number, and call her. All right? So Sue's going to the bathroom. Everybody else can go to the bathroom, too, while we're doing this.
Okay, good.
All right.
Is anyone else there? Is everyone going to the bathroom?
I'm still here. It's Sheldon.
Hi, Sheldon. It's nice to meet you. I don't think I've spoken to you before.
No, I was on the last rewrite, and I didn't talk very much.
Good to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be. Good. I was really missing them guys while they were gone for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I know. It was good in some ways. It's good just to kind of be in a space and practice what we've been learning and actually do it. You know, that part I enjoyed.
I did. I talked to Bob about that too, and I said some cool things happened in them 6 weeks. But,
yeah, they really did. I think that's true for everyone, actually.
So can you tell me what the chart, like just for my head or whatever, what direction can you use this chart after we understand it?
That's probably, there's so many ways, like Bob said, there's so many ways to look at it, and it's so complex.
Okay, I called Renee and said the phone was busy, so hopefully
maybe
she will.
Maybe she's still trying to get in. I honestly still not.
Yeah, and she's got to not be too frustrating. She's got to keep trying.
Huh.
Maybe I'll email her. So meanwhile, now I got to phone Steve. You may get him. That's Ion.
Hi, Ion. We miss you.
Yay!
Don't listen to Bob.
Hey, Ion. Have you let Have you got it open for Renee to get in?
Should be. We're just waiting.
Oh, yeah.
It should be. We're still, it should be. We're still waiting.
Ion?
Yes.
While everybody's peeing, am I feeding my frog enough food?
You don't feed a frog. A frog eats when it's hungry.
Yeah, I know that, but am I giving it enough food to eat?
No, that doesn't have anything to do with it. When it's the right food and it's hungry, it'll eat.
We just heard a bing. Was that someone leaving? I brought Steve in. We got Steve
someone
here.
Left. That was a leaving bing.
Yeah. So I guess I'll have to email Renee. Tell her to try. What were you saying, Sasha, you and Sheldon, about the 6 weeks?
Oh, we were just talking about having that, you know, what was going on for everyone while you guys were on your
right.
Worky job.
Right. Who just binged in? Is that Renee?
Yeah, finally got back in.
Right. I guess it was blocked. So great. So is everybody here? We did have a bink as if someone left. So you here, Sue? Maybe Sue's in the bathroom.
I'm here.
Barbara's here.
Renee, Sasha, and Sheldon.
Sorry, I was on mute.
Right. So it seems, how many did say were here, Renee? Six? And a moderator?
I didn't even listen for that.
Okay, so what were the last words you heard?
Solomon's Temple.
Oh, good, good. Yes, Sue's evoking that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just putting my speakerphone back on because I can't do anything with the phone unless all the phones are disconnected, including Carolyn's. And then
you brought Steve in, so there's six on
right,
the call.
Right, plus the moderator.
If you brought in Steve, that's right.
Yeah, no, so Sue, with her aerial view, this is the Solomon's Temple, and that we learned that. I think, Sasha, by the time you came in, you learned that, right? You heard that part of the diagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. That was all new to us. And we'll go into that later. So we're just looking at the chemical gases level of the first six rings, and then we're looking at the social world of rings 8 and 14. So did you hear us, Renee, talk about in the eighth ring, it's now the human being is walking around interacting with other humans. And so sociality comes in and your social identity and what you think your me is. Did you hear us talk about that?
No.
Yeah, so ring 8, and you have a kind of a pun. At 1 o'clock, it says, save me, or sai me, sai-im. Now, that's not necessarily what it says, but that's a way of remembering, save me. So here is a little man interacting with society and has whatever notations of his limitations. But on another level, this is the ascending human being. So in the eighth ring, it symbolizes you understanding how to be a social self without losing your power. All right? So that's the aspect of ring 8.
The cross right there, right?
Where do you see the cross?
Where the ring 8, where the 8, E1.
E1.
No, I guess that's not a cross.
Don't pay attention to that because I messed that up. I got confused in the beginning with the thin line, the thin white line, bobbers. I didn't even know that was a ring. So some of those might be a bit. Don't disregard my numbers.
Oh, this is in the colored ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's more clear, and I have a diagram that I got off the web, or it may have been enhanced by James of Australia. I can't remember, but it's pretty good. You have that, Sasha, right? The black and white one with the little numbers, you can really see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but these guys are looking at the colored one, the blur general one. So let's see. Is there anything else to say about ring 8? Ring 8. Here I have my notes. L E-L refers to God. M-E refers to me. Do you see where it has the E-L, the M-E, and the E-S-A? I actually got it wrong with the Sive-Eme. The Sive-Eme are ring nine.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You're confusing me.
Yeah, I got it mixed up.
Okay, so that is right. The eight in the E, the E-L.
Yeah, the little triangles inside the Escher.
The
Escher. Beg your pardon?
Purple is ring
yeah.
Eight. And
so there you see the
nine.
Me. I knew there was a me, but I was looking at the save me. You'll see in nine, it's like save me or save the meme or something. But anyways, ring eight is L, me, ba, and a bunch of others. And let's see, stem cells in there. That actually refers, Ion says, to stem cell, the modern chemical, modern drug thing that some are trying to research and Americans banned and all that stuff. So these are seven crosses, and each, the L is God, M-E is me, E-14 is you, I is age, Akeli is Neil, Ardaban is Adorn, and stem cell is, I don't know, something. Seven crosses are markers of delineation. This is the new DNA replication via RNA. So you're getting some frequency manifestation here of the eighth ring, in the eighth ring. And then you get to ring nine, which is seven effects of mortar or mediations. And they're patience, kindness, not proud, long-suffering, lack of envy, not rude, and not provoked. These emotions, these are the higher emotions, which culture says one has to cultivate to be a better person. Okay? And they represent the gates. They represent the gates, Sasha. Howling from the other worlds.
They
say we'll have ghosts here and vampires and maenads. Okay, so I'm looking at ring eight in the notes. You see where it
says we're considering taking up necromancy.
No.
That means after they wiped us out? See, necromancy, isn't that magic around corpses?
Yeah.
Making love with the dead.
Okay. So ring eight has this amazing thing about seven crosses and markers of delineation, new DNA replication. Ring nine is the seven higher emotions. And the second, we call it mortar, social reality. So you're a better person in culture thinks you're a better person if you develop patience, kindness, not being proud, long-suffering, lack of envy, not rude, and not provoked. Now, these emotions, looking back towards ring eight and seven, are gates to get you into ring seven when you're coming in from ring 14. Do you remember that idea, Sasha?
No. Kind of vaguely.
Right. So these higher emotions are part of the gates. And the gates are, let's see, you see in ring seven where the boomerang goes along from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, and there's a bar going from noon hour to four crossing over it. You see that? You see the overlapping of the Escher bars?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's
Hina.
What?
Near Hina? Hina?
Well, right where, you see where the bar goes across and starts at 10 or 11 o'clock and goes across to 2 o'clock.
Yes.
And right in the middle, Sasha has the number 7 and the letter I. So that's the seventh ring. You see right below Sive-Eme where the bar coming from 3 or 4 o'clock up to noon crosses over the bar going from 11 to 2.
Yes.
At that crossover position, that's a gate. And these gates are going through the gates, coming in or going out, that are key. And so that's where another aspect of the Escher ring, the seventh ring, is a transformative, a changing area. And ring nine has these higher emotions that are required to go in or through the gates.
Okay.
And what did they say? There are 12 gates, and there's one that's not named or can't remember something, because that's the gate that indicates unforeseen effects. It's an option because these rings are moving and rotating.
Mm.
So they're changing positions. So there always has to be one gate that's open. I can't remember how we described that.
It blocks certain emotions.
Right, right. Well, what indicated the blockness? It's over around 9 o'clock. I can't remember. They're all overlapping. Which one? One of them had some characteristics.
The one at 9 o'clock. It was 9 o'clock.
Yeah. It didn't overlap, but where is the non-overlapping? So I don't know. Ion will explain, hopefully. I haven't thought about this in months, so I'm really rusty on it. But we're just trying to show you the potential of understanding here. So then you get to ring 10, and that is all these little boxes, and there's 49 of them. And this represents, on one level, the effect of the printing press. In the social world, when the printing press started to fragment everything up into little specialties of knowledge, that was a dramatic effect for the human evolution, human ascension. And Ayn doesn't like the word evolution, so we can't do that. So the 49 boxes in ring 10 address the 6 degrees of separation. So there's a separateness aspect, the how, when, where, what, why. Those are questions that literacy really enhanced. Everybody really thought it was worthwhile to think about those things because books wrote about them. And you also get Ginny's whole organization of the 7 levels and the 7 churches applies to each bar. Okay, so then you go to ring 11. So do you see those little boxes, Steve and Sheldon? The little squares. There's many of them.
Yes, I do.
With letters.
Yeah, I see them.
So
yeah.
That's a very chopped up section. And then you get to ring 11, and you see these very interesting iconic symbols. Like at the 11 o'clock, you see this nice G. And at 1 o'clock, you see a nice orb with a cross on it. Now, these are more pre-printing press. These are the more long-term empires, and they represent 7 empires. So we, you know, in pop culture would call them secret societies. But these are pretty awesome interdimensional empires, I think. They're so involved with what's going on in human fate that Ion will not tell us about the empires yet. So you see, ring 11 is the 7 crown jewels representing, I have medieval iconography for secret societies, but the empires there is a better word because our notions of secret societies are pretty limited compared to what the empires are involved with. And any more said about that, Sasha?
Nope.
What are you looped with ring 4, 7 thunders?
That's a pattern I worked out. We'll explain that later. That's a complication. Are you beginning to see how to look at it? That's the point here. You're getting the way to – it's coming into focus how to approximate what it is. And so you move to ring 12 with all these little numbers and letters and things. Our notes say they're 40 number ratios or sine waves, cosines, frequencies – how the emotions possibly apply to the Escher ring 7. That's where you have the XY chromosomes. That's very complex mathematics, and some of that we've worked on in previous sessions. And it's very complex, that stuff. But the sine waves and cosine waves in ring 12 are like tachyonically showing what you will find out. Like the answers to all the stuff as you get better able to understand the diagram are in these numbers. And let's see, you see in the notes, it says gauge vibrations to discern, decide, apply which value.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to work with sine waves and cosine waves. That gets into triangulation and geometry and trigonometry. The point is, it's something in there that you never would know. Okay. You have no clue this was in the diagram. unless we got here. Okay, so
Sheldon was just asking. Sheldon was asking Bob a good question about, you know, how. What was the question, Sheldon? How would you apply this?
Just how would we use this chart once we understand it?
Well, you can ask Ian about that. There's a lot about that.
All right. Well, we're glad you did. So ask it.
Ian, how can we use this chart once we understand it?
To complete the world and the empire that you are engaging.
And we started to do that just by analyzing the chart and learning about it over the last 8 months, Ian.
But at least you finally got a good question out of it anyway.
Right. So since we're moving to questions, we'll just quickly finish. Ring 13 is not there. You can't see ring 13, but it is. You see that black edge, the edge of the membrane of the cell, it's this outer line of black, right? So imagine there's a white space between the black outer rim and the 12th ring of numbers in mathematics. The white space in there is ring 13. So we have our thin white line, and in there is 40 sets of 300 times 12 equals 3,600 equals 144,000 double helixes all attached to one chromosome, 14. And that loops back to ring 1 with the chromosome. So think of this diagram is also showing 144,000 double helixes dangling through the diagram. Okay? And that is indicated by ring 13. And then ring 14 is the orbiting valences and valences. There's the valences in chemistry, and then there's the valence, which means when you look at a curtain rod and you see an overlapping at the top of a long curtain rod where the cloth folds in, that's the folding in of valence as opposed to valence. And that has a lot of meaning. And so ring 14 loops back to ring 1 with the chromosome. And then when you start looping them in and out, and then you notice ring 7 mirrors ring 11 or 14, 12, whatever I've got there, there's mirrorings going on within the 14 rings. And that's about it. I'm finished.
You missed the lotus flower aspect and what you get inside those individual rings, the hologram.
Okay, explain. Or you guys ask about it.
What is the lotus flower image?
Sasha, explain how once you activate this cell, it opens like the petals of a lotus flower and becomes the base that activates a hologram, which shows the temple.
Yeah, there are lines that will draw out and extend out past ring 14, which creates that.
They open those the triangles within the diagram themselves open, and as they open, it becomes the picture would be a dimensional lotus flower. And once that lotus flower petals are open, it activates an actual hologram, which will give you the representation of the temple. Now that's when you put all 7 rings inside 7 rings into motion, or you develop or activate your 14 degrees of freedom.
Okay, Ion, can I just hold you there? So that's an insight for me. We go from the chemical level and the angelic form level and the human level, and then we get to the temple. You do it through the third level of metaphor interpretation as a lotus. That's how you get to the fourth level of the hologram of the temple. Okay, well, that's new to me.
Yes, of course.
Well, that's good. We didn't know that, did we, Sasha?
Yes.
Yes, we knew that?
Yes,
yeah,
Bob, we knew that for 30 hours.
Okay, no, wait a minute. No, Sasha, what I'm learning here is you've got the gases, the chemical level. Then you have the angel human form level, because we were oscillating between animals and gases in ring 1 and 2, right? Well, the third level is the hologram, the lotus, which is the means to get to the fourth level of the temple. I don't think we knew that before.
It's what made the fifth dimensions a hit record, Bob.
Right. Did you know that, Sasha? You know that 4 level?
I didn't. I don't think I thought about it in terms of levels, but
that's the beginning. In our new notes, that would be the beginning. Look at the cell with 4 levels. Human and angel
Sasha,
interaction.
It'd be in your old notes because she already had all that.
Right, but it's never spelled out. We've got to make a new, better notes for introducing this. But
you actually did a decent job on that, Bob. Normally you would have mangled that to where even we couldn't recognize it, but it wasn't too horrible.
Yeah, I tried to keep it simple.
That was we were astounded.
Okay, so but this is really good because Subring sees the temple, and I'm figuring, well, I don't know, yeah, that's there, but I didn't even know we had to get to it. It's just we just sort of see it there. But the lotus, I forgot that. That's the means to getting to the fourth level of seeing the temple, because this is a picture of the temple, besides the gases and the angel human beast interaction.
Well, what the hell good is a perfect cell if it doesn't get you to the ascension?
So
you
right, now it's the fifth dimension. What's the fifth level then? You saying they got
that's a singing group, Bob.
I know. And what is that a metaphor of? If we get the hologram of the temple,
almost there.
Fifth is almost there.
Do.
So you've been on about the octet since before. You know, we haven't talked about the octet in a rewrite. Is there an octet in this diagram?
Certainly, it's all an octet.
Okay.
You take the inner seven rings and add one, it breaches. You take the outer seven rings inside and add the physical, and it breaches. That's where you get your octet.
Yeah, but you said you take this, you go in, you didn't say what inside what. Could you restate
inside,
that?
Inside out, outside in, zero.
Oh, that's the flipping. So
right.
So the outer seven rings go in, and the inner could go out.
Correct.
Oh, okay. That's the next level. Rather than overlapping, they're actually flipping in and on at each other. So,
and once you get the motion, once you get the 14 degrees of freedom, then you realize, Barbara, how you can instantaneously breach a world just with a twinkling of an eye.
Okay, so it sounds like it would it be useful to make this into like a three-dimensional...
It is. They've been working on it since Jesus. We're just hoping for the best.
Yeah, James and Chad are working on it.
Okay.
And they're loving every minute of it. But they ain't there yet.
Right. So you see, all of us should be impressed at what we're looking at. It's absolutely incredible, right?
Yeah.
What's interesting, to get to this 144,000 double helixes dangling from the chromosome in center one position, as we talked about it, RNA drops came. And RNA drops are... almost a requirement to
RNA
get
drops
there.
Didn't come. RNA drops have been around since the coathanites. You
That's
just
true.
Got them in your meat sack now.
In this year, this great 2012 year coming a year ahead of time, in the Jubilee year, while we're doing the chart. So are the RNA drops in particular indicated in the diagram?
Yes. The form that you have them now, Bob, the closest thing you'd find them is in the Escher.
Okay.
It's the in-between place because it's not bread of life and it's not living water, but it's so close you can't tell the difference.
Right. So, guys, you're going to hopefully go back and look at the chart, but it's now up to you guys to ask questions about it.
Or burn
you guys,
the thumb a bitch up forever and be done with it. Yeah, either way is all right with us.
You guys got to start asking questions.
Okay, Ion. Okay. These two charts feel very precious to me.
They are.
If I put them under my mattress or under my pillow, would they be affecting me?
They will.
Or are they?
They already are, but they will.
Just by looking at them, it's affecting me.
No. You don't even have to look. It's beyond sightedness, darling.
Okay. So it wouldn't matter if I didn't put them under my pillow, but if
wouldn't.
I did put them under my pillow, would there be an effect on my...
Well, you're the God. Mm-hmm. Try it out.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you can create. You can create
dog,
any interpretation.
See if that dog will hunt, because either way we say it, we could clear the deal for you, darling.
Yeah, so Ion, what I get from this is that because the diagram is being talked about, it's affecting everybody on the planet and in other worlds.
And it'll cause those that don't embrace it to force them to transition. And those on the edge of coming into their godship, it will force them into the sea of decision to decide to ascend.
Right, so this is what it means beyond the leading edge. We've been doing the rewrites, discussing this stuff, and affecting all of reality.
Well,
and all
now,
of reality.
Now,
but
wait,
it isn't covered on Fox News, what we're doing. See, that's where the...
I guess it is. Well, you turn around and you look, and they stand, now you have politicians saying, this is another world.
Yeah, this is another.
Congress was having their little duke out, and they said, this is not of this world. This is an otherworldly.
The financial situation. The whole political financial situation,
the first time ever we've ever seen this occur, when the longs and the shorts met themselves, and it still dropped 400 points in a minute, where somebody hit a B instead of an M and caused someone to have a BM. Because many bowels moved.
That movie that I have still haven't seen yet, the Another World. You were talking about the two snow globes
crashing together. That's in The Fringe. Yes, with
and Nina. That's in that movie Another World too, isn't it?
It sounds like it. It certainly is, and it's starting to creep in, and that's the whole point. See, it's very quickly catching up. If they get on the lucky box now and they say, "Hey, Einstein was fucked up."
and
CERN has proved it, that Einstein was a fuck-up.
Right. So, Legend, you see that all those questions you asked over the past year and a half, we couldn't go into until you got here. But this should change your kind of questioning you ask, if you take in what you're hearing.
Yes, I hear you. My questions are adding up, but, I mean, I'm trying to embrace all this.
Well, don't try to embrace it. You've got the House of Ill Repute cornered. Get sticky.
Well, what? Can you send the notes over to me that you just went over the diagram with?
Yeah, Sasha can do that.
You should have it. Did you not get it, Legend?
I opened
he
up
has
the
to
diagram.
Ask his children if it's okay.
I opened up the diagram, but I didn't see any notes that accompanied it.
Well, that's in the other email. There's two emails.
There should be two emails. Okay.
Steve, emails can come in multiple forms. There can be, like, many of them. And they're normally really close together. It'll be the next one up or the next one behind. You just click on it like it's a completely different message from a completely different world.
So the talking about the chart has made other worlds want to be part of this, and they're glad that we're reconvened so they can jump in because the chart and our conversation is dragging them in, desiring to be part of it, which we witnessed today.
They are more patient than we.
I've got a question. How do we use the chart to complete the world and empire that you were talking about?
You don't complete the world. You don't complete the empire. It's what you use to get you, your happy butt, in your happy throne. And once you arrive at your coronation, then your world revolves around you. And when that happens, then the ascension process would be fait au complete. And then you start ruling your world, and you don't worry about any empire. You drive your own empire.
Yeah, one of the ideas I got as we went through the diagram is I realized that all inventions, all knowledges, all that's going to happen is here, is in this diagram, because the realized ascended person with 144,000 double helixes sees all that, and it's really like the world of mortar because it's living in a world that's not measured by those developments. So all
that's
things
why
are coming.
I've got a question. This is Renee. I've got a question. When you talk about the lotus and then the holograms and then the temple, is the temple where your throne is?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's the personal meaning of the temple. But there's also the temple that was historically built.
All three temples that were historically built and failed are the very ones you're trying to achieve. That's the example of the temple that you would house the Holy of Holies regarding.
Right, so when I said a couple hours ago, all culture falls away, it includes all the great technologies and all temples externalized fall away compared to what you are as a real ascended person.
Les Bob.
Did McLuhan use this chart, or did he know of it?
Who?
Marshall McLuhan, did he know of this chart?
Who?
Marshall McLuhan.
Never heard of him, sorry.
Yeah, we don't bring in cultural figures into this level. Like they don't even know about
all right,
this.
Right. Okay.
They knew nothing about this.
Ion told me in one of my personal sessions that the only people that had their hands on it was Enoch, Methuselah, and Noah, Ion?
Manasseh.
Who was a king? Manasseh, the Israeli king, Ion?
Yes.
Okay, so you're saying Methuselah, Enoch, and Manasseh, and wasn't there one of the Ezekiels or something?
No.
Okay.
Ezekiel gave the foretelling of it, but he didn't have it.
So you're saying Methuselah, Enoch, and Manasseh knew this diagram and knew all that it meant? Is that what you just said?
Well, now knew all it meant. Now that's a mouthful, Bob.
Okay, so what were you saying that they knew?
Of the chart and had access to it.
And where was it?
In their little box.
Where was the little box?
In their little table.
Where was the little table?
By their great big throne.
In the Temple of Solomon?
In their individual temple. Temple of Solomon doesn't matter because there were three temples.
Right, but when you say in their individual temple, is that a metaphor for an inner condition or their actual place?
There was never a throne without a tabernacle, Bob.
Every Israeli king had a tabernacle.
Absolutely.
You said as well that the chart itself was a tablet, but the tablet was in pieces. And
Well,
yeah, we did because of the Coathanites. And you guys, the Coathanites are the ones who had the living water, the living bread,
the
RNA.
They're the true part sons of Levi. They're the true part sons of God. They're the root and the branch of David. They are the true ascended ones.
Yeah, when man fell, they kept residue substance from the ascended state, which included the substance we're making, the RNA drops and others. So the Coathanites have always...
Who the fuck is we?
Me.
Oh, you do things? That is your news flash for the millennia. Bob does something.
I've been doing a few things lately. Okay, so the point is that the Coathanites people, which Ion mentioned in last week's tailgate for the first time in a public situation, we've discussed.
Yeah, we did kind of slip that one in there, didn't we? Did anybody get pregnant? We sort of slid it right in there.
Yeah. And so Coathanites is a word that comes with a rewrite, and it's actual. You'll see it in the Bible mentioned here and there. We've gone through the chapters. David interacted with the Coathanites. They're the guys who held the good stuff from the ascended realm in around the Ark of the Covenant and wouldn't let the locals have any.
Well, and that became shewbread that was for the gods. Shewbread was sacrificial bread for the gods. Even when King David was having him a little shit hissy fit, wanting the bread because they were hungry, they said no, and they remember the story. Sasha, tell them about the story where he had the sword and the lechifre that killed, took the head off of Goliath and had that in his hand. And then King David, rather than using that, played like he'd lost his mind or gone insane or took leave of his senses. Even he couldn't have shewbread. That's King David. And he's the one with the very heart of God.
Yeah, what's interesting here, this is the total fragmentation or separation symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant. All this great stuff was put and preserved around the Ark of the Covenant because it represented people's power and the people didn't have any. And they didn't even eat the bread because the bread and the water were put aside for this abstract God that the Ark of the Covenant represented. Now, isn't that really
weird? And they were gods, but they weren't So they weren't qualified.
Who were gods, David or the Kohathanites?
All of them were gods, your gods, but we're just trying, now we're having to convince you of your godship.
Right. So
when you were talking about the little man touching the Ark of the Covenant and getting burnt, we spoke about this a while ago.
They didn't get burnt. The frequency fried your ass.
Okay, right. So I was going to ask. That's a frequency. Not being in line with that frequency.
Do. Because you put all your collective power in the box, in the cardboard box, put it in the box. You did that, and it became more powerful than you.
Mm-hmm. So, in the Lost Raiders of the Ark, when the Nazis get burnt up by the box.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, yes.
Yeah. That is, we did this a couple of, maybe even Sue heard this, or a few rewrites ago. That is actually true. There was such an amazing power put in the Ark of the Covenant that it could do that.
It was that's where that power resonated. And the only ones who could even touch or be around the Ark behind the veil that separated this godly power from little men, were the Levites. But that even got questionable because if their shit wasn't right, when they started dicking with the Ark of the Covenant, they finally got to tying a rope around them, and if they fell over dead, they'd drag them out with a rope because they'd get to stinking after they burnt.
Yeah, no one else could go in and get them, so they had a rope because no one else could go near there. They'd drag them out.
Yeah.
So this is the whole, now this gets into a lot of the stories in the Bible, which we've gone through, which are pretty interesting, and you guys can ask about it. But Sheldon, you're not talking enough. What questions you got?
I'm still trying to, figure out how it gets us to our throne.
Well, you're on the process now already. It's a three-part process. See, we tell that even to the blithering idiots. But now the things that we've told you, the blithering idiot version of the story, now you can start applying this information to that knowing. And when in doubt, simplify it out. Because it's easier than you'll ever make it.
Okay.
So go literal. Go with a three-part process that we've already laid out thoroughly. And that's what the whole scriptures, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, aren't worth a damn until you talk about the ascension. And that's what they talk the least about in the scriptures. On the Emmaus Road, Jesus was in the process of ascension, and they came up and they wanted to grab Jesus. He said, wait, my ascension's not complete yet. Don't fuck with me right now. There's 40 days of ascension, and that's all it should take any human creator is 40 days to ascend.
And the three-part process you're saying available to us is hearing ion, assessing the information, imbibing the RNA drops, then the third phase is deciding whether you want to take the plunge or not, or take the...
Well, apply it. Allow it to come into your place. Allow it to be...
Those are the three steps of ascension, and one can do in 40 days. You should have got it.
Right, and anything else, you're just playing with it. It's like your penis. After you rub it more than three times, you're just playing with it.
Well, so if that's accurate, then we should have already ascended, or have we already ascended?
Well, we say you already have. You're just trying to decide that.
Yeah, Barbara, many of us, when we started 2 years ago, so we had a year and a half of information. Then the RNA drop showed up in March, April. Then you had second phase. Now we've had 3 or 4 months of taking that in the realign, and now we're into the third phase of assessing if you really
where you have mean rogue ion.
Yeah, mean rogue ion. Mm-hmm. And so people who just showed up today they got to hear some information, but they got the RNA drops right away available for them, and when they're ready, they can get to stage two real fast, whereas it took us a year and a half.
Okay,
and the ones that embrace it, imply it, we're patient. And that those that are still dicking with it will shut the moneymaker down fast. We're not so woo-woo soft and easy, baby, and kissy-kissy. Be real still. We'll give you the honor of a reach around. Screw that noise.
Yeah, Ian, you were like that. You were like that from March, April 2009 till December and the blood moon.
Cats out of the sack.
Yeah, mean Ion started to show up, and he started to play.
No more free poker.
Right, he started saying that around last December.
Because, see, you've upped the ante now to the point where you have enough information to shit or get off the pot. And we say decide. The point is now is decide. If you decide to carry on, come to your throne, that porcelain god many of you worship, wonderful. But if not, get out before it gets ugly.
Yeah, Legend was asking a question. What did you say? The draft or something?
The graph. Who designed this graph? How long has it been around?
Always.
Always.
Yeah, and the one who kind of saw it first was Enoch or Noah, Ion.
Well, who was it? Tell them who Enoch and Noah were.
Enoch was Noah's father? Is that what it was, Sasha? Can't remember.
Grandfather. Hang on, it goes.
Grandfather.
Paul, yeah.
Grandfather.
Right, so Enoch was there first.
Methuselah was Enoch's son.
The what?
Methuselah was Enoch's son and Noah's father.
Very good. Very good.
So did Noah see the chart?
Yes, don't you remember? That's why he was a drunk.
Oh, yeah, he was drunk with the implications of it.
No, hell, he was drunk with new wine.
On the good stuff.
On liquor, Bob.
Yeah, was he drunk on RNA drops or living water?
Party liquor.
And what's that got to do with him knowing the
chart? Celebrating.
Well, celebrating or trying to mask what he knew.
Mess or mask?
Mask.
M-A-S-K.
He talked to dead people, Bob.
All right, so Noah's pretty... So he was under pressure because he's dealing with Enoch is closer to the fall, to the beginning point, so he has residue from the ascended state, correct?
Enoch ascended, so, yeah, he was real close to that.
And then
you told me in my session when I covered lots of the Book of Enoch that Noah wrote the Book of Enoch. So was that because Noah was, as you said, trying to conceal what he knew?
Yeah, but he didn't want to deal with it. He knew that many of them would not.
Right.
Remember, Noah made it through the flood, but most of his neighborhood didn't.
Yeah.
So the emotions of that period is drives him to drink. I mean, he's preparing for the flood. He knows about it. All his buddies are going to be gone. That's tough to a little man, right? That'll drive you to drink.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know Methuselah was Noah's father. And he's supposed to be a guy who lived forever.
And Bob acts like, you know, this is what's fun. Bob, who can now spout this stuff like dysentery, has these little epiphanies here and there, and he's like, can you imagine that I've known this all along, that I've taught this, I've lived this? I crammed this down Dave Worster's throat, and he talks to you guys like it's the very first time. He woke up with an erection and is like, what the hell is this? I've never seen this before. Am I supposed to do something with this? This is interesting. I don't know exactly how this all applies, but it's very different than anything I've ever seen before. Hey, Carolyn, what's this going on with my penis? It's been all fucked up here. Yes, Bob, that happens from time to time. Get out. I never saw that before. You mean it does that? Get out of here. That's our Bob, our Miss Brooks.
That's how you live in the now. You forget yesterday.
Wow. Now, Bob's saying this, but he has single-handedly spoke 10 hours straight about just that topic.
add to this whole chart.
Repete.
Pardon me?
Repeat.
Repete.
Oh. How does the gut play into the chart?
It's the outcome if you don't engage it.
Is your entrance will end up in the gut?
What's the first word? Is your entrance?
Essence.
If you don't embrace your godhood, if you don't ascend,
you are doomed to forfeit it.
Yeah, this picture is a picture of your essence.
Yeah, the perfect essence.
Yeah, the perfect essence. And if it's not perfect like this, then it gets sidetracked into ring 15, 16, and 17. The guff.
Then chunk it in the bucket, because it won't do you any good.
So what do you think of that, Sue? Here it is. The cards are laid out on the table. You go, well, now I know.
Mm-hmm. When I first saw the chart, I thought I would never, ever, ever figure this one out.
You wouldn't, and you were right. And now that you know what it means, you realize you were right. You would never figure this out, what we just were talking about.
No. Can I ask a question about the little crosses?
Well, we don't know if you can, but you certainly may.
I would like
to ask. Let's not ever use that phrase. Can I ask a question? Just ask.
Okay. The little crosses that are on the walls of the temple, Solomon's temple. Oh, and they're also in the other circles of what do they represent?
Sasha.
The protons.
Protons, Sue.
Protons?
Yes. And the empty spaces, the white, whatever doesn't have anything going on it, that's ions.
Okay. And some of them have quite a few protons, and some of them have just one here, one there.
And if you add them up, you end up with the calls, the gates, and the heirs.
Yeah, the 30 heirs, the 12 gates, and the 49 calls.
And why does the center one have a longer arm on one side?
Because in chromosome 14, you have ring. It's the only chromosome that has rings and arms, and that's why they hung Jesus on a cross whose one arm was longer than another. That cross, and Christians wear the symbol of the cross around their neck, not representing Jesus, but representing chromosome 14, because you fucks wanted to hide it in plain sight.
And that's very good, Renee. Many people hadn't noticed the distance or the difference and asked months ago and found that out. But good, you know,
as chromosome 14 moves, if one arm wasn't longer than the other, you wouldn't notice its movement.
Yeah, it's actually a picture of it spinning, so to speak. It's moving. So from your visual perspective, it would look one longer than the other. It's indicating motion.
I was just wondering, Ion, about my knowledge of chemistry is absolutely terrible.
But they didn't know anything, so you know more than them. Just start where you are.
No, I'm actually going to ask about protons specifically. Are electrons and neutrons present anywhere on the chart?
Neutrons are not, because it would negate the process. But electrons in an ionosphere or ionic sphere is the conductivity. Now, if you'll poke Dr. Dean a little bit, she can tear you up because she absolutely adores this sharing electrons and placing electrons in formulas. She's probably the best on the planet so far at it, because that. When you start conveying different elements and making electrons fit, especially those that are what you call have a half-life or an isotope of it, that's where you start having issue with shared electrons. So it stays in the form that you make it.
Right.
So the electrons are implied by the empty spaces because they're involved with the ionic transfer.
Always.
I see.
So the electrons are all, because there's millions of them within all of those spaces.
Yeah.
Of course. So then the protons...
Why would the protons be visible? They're different from ions, is the point.
That's the part that that's the part that... Go ahead, Sasha.
Well, protons have a positive charge, right?
Yeah.
So... And then I don't mean to have you catch you repeating gossip, but what did you say the reason that there's no neutrons represented? Because
they would negate. They would negate. They could make you an ungod.
Okay, I got it.
So neutrons were created in the fallen state. Neutrons were created in the fallen state.
Correct.
And ions
just like you can't create darkness. You can remove light, but you can't create dark.
That is so cool, because the presence of neutrons is really what changes the state of an atom, right?
Yeah, it fucks you up.
Right. Oh, wow. That's great.
So the ions are part of the ascended state of matter.
And neutrons are what you use to undo that.
Right. And the proton is in between, or it's the double, the
it's
other?
It's the jelly that holds the seeds in the jam.
Right, so it's part of the ascended state. And electrons, are they part of the ascended state, or are they a product of the neutrons?
No, they are only in the ascended state. It's what you try to pair to keep you ascended.
Yeah, that's why the electrons talk to the protons, positive and negatively.
But you're way above your pay grade. You need Dr. Dean at this point to straighten this shit out, because you're going to go south quickly.
Is Dr. Dean here? Let me go,
Jerry. Yeah, I'm here, but those are the basics.
Oh, she ain't telling girls. Sorry.
Oh.
What do you think, girls? Those are the basics.
Bad.
What's that mean?
About the electrons being having a negative charge. Protons are positive, and neutrons are neutral.
Yeah, so this neutral, the fallen state is neutral, like the person can't create anything, you know, it's fallen, he's paralyzed.
You're as powerful an atom either way you go. The neutron allows you to negate your place of power to where you can't do crap.
Yes, right, so it's neutral.
Googler. Neutrons require a Googler to figure out anything.
So, Carolyn, you say those are basics, but we're saying...
We're having a little epiphany here. I am.
Yeah, that was good about the neutrons. They can jump in and mess up a whole compound and create something else.
You know, Carol, when humans fall, they create matter, and this is the matter they create, the neutron addition.
Now, if you ask us, we'd say humans cannot fall, and yet you see yourself as fallen.
Yeah, we created that to try it out. We see you as God.
You apply neutrons and put your power in a box.
Get the ambulance for Sasha. She's having an epiphany. We think we're picking her up.
I have.
Sasha's having a little epiphany. And Carolyn's kind of rolling her eyes and saying, "Welcome to my world."
No, I am not.
Professor, what are you having an epiphany about? What is it, if you
can
say it?
Well, just that I never really understood the whole role of them until I watched a little YouTube on it today. But, you know.
The role of what?
Grade 9 science, you know.
You never understood the role of what?
Let me finish, Bob. Neutrons. Protons and electrons and putting it into context here, and when Sue asked the question, you know, why, and you know, there's just protons.
Sasha, you just heard about it today. You just watched the YouTube today, and it sort of said something else.
I watched the YouTube today, but Sue's question triggered that to me because it made me realize that it's a neutron that changes it changes everything. I mean, it's the neutrons that change that. Between helium
and lead, Sasha,
right?
you said what Sue and what Ion said made you realize. No, it didn't make you realize. You just heard the idea from Ion, and you're believing it.
Oh, well, I'm getting it. It's a little clickety-click, Bob.
You heard it. Now, the clickety-click is you're adding significance to it.
Well, when Ion talks about a new heaven and a new earth,
it ain't new to us.
Right. There ain't no new world.
Well, it's
it becomes Orion.
Orion. The shoulders of, I was on the shoulders of Orion today. That's interesting. But you know what? I'm just going at your word, Sasha. It made you realize. No, you just heard the idea and you understand what Ion's saying. Doesn't mean it's relevant to anything. It does feel relevant compared to the ideas you had about matter. But
all right, then. Okay, then start ripping electrons out of that formulation that she just got, and you'll have a different experience.
So, Carol, what did you have to add to this that you haven't said? You're saying this is basic. What is it that isn't basic that Ion's implying you know?
Well, the way Ion keeps talking about the H-197 and creating new formulas, new chemicals, where do they all go?
Right. How do you stabilize an isotope?
What do you mean, where do they all go, Karen? What are you referring to?
Matter can neither be created nor destroyed.
So you're asking, where do they all go?
We're creating matter.
Are you thinking about what we learned Tuesday night?
Yep.
Okay.
But that's pretty cool, though, Bob. Come on, you can't be dissing me, saying I just made me rich.
No, wait a minute. What's pretty cool? many things are being said here. What's pretty cool?
What we learned, but
you're referring? Are you referring to melting titanium, which you don't know anything about? So I don't think you mean that.
You don't know that I don't know anything about melting titanium, Bob.
Right. Well, what are you referring to?
You can't say that. You don't know I wasn't there.
Okay, right. But say what it is that you're referring to.
Well, just the fact that matter is created with protons, neutrons, and electrons, and that the shifting of those changes everything.
Okay.
And that's
that's a good idea.
Have.
That's a good notion.
Yeah. So that's
it's got more behind it than the Einstein theories.
Einstein. So, Ion. What we're hearing about the role of neutrons, and CERN hasn't. They have no clue about that.
Oh no! And if they did, it would be they'd have opened up the horse swallower long ago.
So when you hear Ion, and if you believe Ion, you're a physicist. Say fuck all the science. I'm going to do all 68 hours of revelation so I can get on re-rate and find this new stuff. You've jumped into believing it, and then you start taking the RNA drops. So the question I am presenting to everybody, you're with us or against us, and we don't mind if you're against us, but this won't make any sense unless you imbibe it.
Yeah, another little one that will help you get this, Sasha, this will get it down into a simple version. Go to Adult Swim or wherever Bob says go. Go to the Squidbillies, and it's the episode called God's Bro, B-R-O.
Yeah, God's Bro.
God's Bro, and watch that one, and you'll get a really fun glimpse at this CERN business.
Yeah, so Legend and Renee, we're listening to this. Just like it says in the Bible, it's for little people. The part of yourself that's not a little person, it doesn't need the chart or anything. Might need RNA drops, but not this chart. So Ion will always make fun of this knowledge as we learn it, but that's from the ascended position, right?
Well, we have to make light of it so you can have fun with it, so you can get it.
Right, because if we get too serious about it, we won't get it.
Well, it would be, yeah, well, no, we can't say that, but we can say that if you made this a course of study, you'd have to be a PhD candidate to qualify for it. And Sue says, well, Ion, sometimes that's the way we feel. You can't just jump in when you want to, but it is always by your choice to. And if somehow you can live your life in such a way that you don't piss off Bob, you can have all kinds of great things.
I don't think you're making too much of piss. Bob doesn't get pissed off.
Well, y'all try that and see how it works for you.
Oh yeah, maybe I do, but I takes a long time. It takes such a long time. I usually forget why I got pissed off.
And change if not.
Yeah, like we're boiling a soup and it takes 5 weeks, and I go, Ken, why is this stuff hot? Well, you started boiling it 5 weeks. Oh, okay, so it's hot. We can eat it now? Not yet. Still boiling.
Too hot. We don't eat hot things.
Okay. Ion. Do all these other parallel worlds, are they going through? Have they already been through all this material?
It's available.
Right, but Ion, this is new, you revealing this stuff for all worlds.
That's fair.
Right, and all worlds are in a fallen state? Are all worlds fallen?
That's the reason we're trying to stop you, because many are further along, some are...
Yeah, further along. But are all worlds fallen?
No, not all worlds, no.
There are worlds that are ascended, that are included among the worlds that we interact with.
Sue does that in her dream state all the time with that Utopia Canadian Air.
Utopia.
Yeah,
Barbara's been to that state. She's seen that.
So the ascended people, they would not be too interested in this. They already know all this.
Well, that's why you don't have a room full of ascended folks wanting you to edumacate them, Bob.
Right, but I think the ascended people might be interested in the public role of Ion coming forth and non-physical creating.
Well, they pop in a bit now and again.
They find that new. It's new for little men. Maybe...
It's enjoyable because they can go, oh, ain't that sweet. They're actually figuring it out. They might be fun to have dinner with. So we can play with them.
Is there within my geographical area, where would the closest ascended person be?
Do you recognize 8th Street?
8th Street?
Yeah.
No, I probably could.
Well,
you don't know of an 8th Street in Victoria?
That's, no.
That would be down in Roman numerals.
It's really strange. I feel like I do, and I can't pull it.
We know.
Hey, Renee, you still here?
In Victoria, there's an ascended one?
In 8th Street.
Yes, I am, Bob.
Okay, good.
So are there versions of us, then? Is that what you're saying, that are ascended in the other worlds?
Sometimes, darling, yes. And there's some worlds where they're more fucked up than you.
Impossible.
No, really.
my daughter was asking me this question the other day after watching Doctor Who, and you know, they were dealing with parallel lives, and she was saying to me the same question I always ask about today, is that once you're ascended, they're all ascended at the same time. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so...
But see, now, wait a minute. We'd say they're all ascended anyway.
Right.
We're just trying to figure it out.
Right.
We're just in the Arna stage. Right?
Well, you're ising, trying to prove it with an Arnus, yes.
Yeah, so you have 10 selves. 8 of them are not ascended, and 2 are, and the 8 join the 2 that are at some point.
So if you want to...
Wait, say that, Ion.
We're just going to let it pass because it would just confuse and confound.
I'm sorry I brought that up, people.
Oh, no, he said it. Bob's profound at that.
So when we have our ascension, does that mean that all of our other selves will be ascended also?
Yes, darling, as we said, we see all of you, the all of you, already ascended. You're just catching up to this ascension.
Right, so Sue, you're saying, it doesn't sound like you've got 8 unascended and 2 ascended. Numbers 4 and 5 might ascend. It doesn't mean 6 and 7, or did Ian just say that numbers 1 to 8 that aren't ascended, if one of them get ascended, then it takes the other 7 to the other 2?
No. We're saying that we see all of you, all of yous, as ascended already. You may not see yourselves, any one particular or all of you, as ascended. But that doesn't mean you are not. It just means you haven't figured out the R-ness yet.
So just be honest, the fit that I'm figuring out in this self right now, does it have any effect on the, like, number 2, Sasha?
Well, yes, it could, but that's like saying I have the sniffles. Do all other 8 or 20 of me have the sniffles? And we say no.
Are there infinite amounts of us?
The best way to say that is yes.
Yes.
Hear them?
Yeah.
Can you hear them?
Yeah.
Are there any public figures that you could notice as a ascended?
Wait a minute. Bob is trying to collect the $50 from your listeners. Get their charge plate, Bobby.
That drove them away.
Yeah, see, that did it. There you go. Good. Now ask your question again.
Are there any public figures that we would recognize that you would say are ascended?
No, not one.
Yeah, because ascended person don't go public.
Ascended ones would never expose themselves.
I remember you saying something about the RNA drops. After you take them, there's something to do with your forehead, like you could recognize people by the forehead.
Do.
Is that correct? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, it's like a silver dollar.
Like a silver dollar. Is that why the Indians have that blessing where they put the red mark on your forehead?
Well, the real ones have rubies in their skin.
Yeah.
Okay, so you mean it's kind of like they would have not see with their eyes, but kind of sense it? Or is it something actual
with
physical
eyes? You don't see with your eyes now.
Okay.
Your eyes don't see, your mind sees. Your eyes just take the codec of everything. You decide the parts that you see.
Yeah, there's an example where your body image and all the knowledge about our bodies is an intrusion. It confuses you to the power of your words.
Yeah.
Like you don't, the ascended person doesn't have a body.
Huh. So the silver dollar thing on the forehead, would that be like the third eye, the what you
talking about the third eye chakra?
Hey, Sue, all cultures have crumbs. Those are crumbs on the path to ascension. They're just images and confusions about the little man interpreting ascended people.
Well, call it vacillations of ascension.
Vacillation, and they're not relevant to the ascended person. He doesn't go around wearing a ruby. You can't even see the ascended person, maybe you could say.
Yeah, I know that. Why did the bus stop
Have you
with
ever
Noah?
Seen one, Sue? You know that because you've never seen one. You know that you've never seen one. I definitely seen one. I didn't see him.
Well, there's one on 8th Street.
So, Ian, why did the buck stop at Noah? Why did this chart never go past Noah? Did he lose his blood?
You got it.
So the flood's a metaphor for the fall.
You got it. You got it. How do you say it never got past Noah when you got it?
Yeah, how come...
How come we got it, Sue? How the hell did we get it?
How did we get it? How
by an email.
Why?
Ion emailed it to us on July 27th.
Intention, your intention. Bob sent it to some people, and they can't get it. They bought new computers. They've done everything under the sun, and some still, they just can't receive it.
But is Noah, the flood, a metaphor for the fall?
No.
What is it a metaphor of? What's it refer to?
The filling of the guff.
Oh, there was a cataclysm. So there was a cataclysm at that, his point.
Well, do you call it a cataclysm?
Well, something where a lot of people died.
All of them, but Noah and his family.
All right, they all died and went. And is that what the creation of the guff?
Originally, yes.
Right, so Noah was in the ascended thing, and then it's nebulous, but the fall started, chaos happened, and then they died. So they died because they started to fall. So the fall happened in Noah's time or just before Noah's time? Even though you don't always use the word time?
Oh, yeah, that's even too ridiculous for us to play with.
Okay,
Bob.
So Methuselah, did he experience the fall?
No.
That's why he's still alive.
Yes.
Still here.
Yes.
That's interesting. So then if the fall happens...
What do you mean it's interesting? We gave you his fucking address, and you were going to go call on him. And he's going to put Snuffy on the Googler to see if you could pull him up on the satellite imagery. You act like you never heard it before, ever, ever, ever.
No, I like this idea.
So where
the
does Methuselah hang out?
That's Bob.
So, yeah, where are these, Bob?
I don't know. I didn't know this. I don't recall this information. I explained something with another Bob. Don't assume he's talking to you. He could be talking to the other Sue or the other Renee, you know. I know nothing about Methuselah. Never asked for his address.
So the chart is showing up now. Because
which is before Noah. We're before Noah. So Ion, the Ark of the Covenant happens the same time as Noah.
And before.
See? The chronology in the Bible, it's all screwed up. The Jews were living in the ascended. Many other peoples were.
Hey, leave the juice out of it.
No, this is interesting. I like when Ion starts distorting our linear cliches of history. You know, the Ark of the Covenant comes way later, way after Noah. But you got to realize, no, Noah and the Ark at the same time.
Well,
that's huge.
I'm having an epiphany, legend.
Yeah. I'm having an epiphany.
Oh, stand back, girls. He's going to have a gizgasm. But the same thing is true when you have the temple. Okay, they have the temple.
Well, then the temple was in the ascended place.
Well, now, wait a second. Now, listen, this is how screwed up the timing is. You got 13-year-old Jesus who throws the money changers out of the temple. Okay. Then you have they build a looking ground. Herod builds a looking ground. He wasn't even qualified to go into the temple. Now this is the one where they've dragged Jesus to in the Sanhedrin, where they're working out all these details. There's 1,500 years between those two temples, and the Bible lays it out as Jesus popped by, threw him out of the temple, was preaching in the synagogue, and then the next thing you know, that's where the Sanhedrin and the Wailing Wall gets established, that he's supposed to be raped before the coals regarding.
Yeah.
That shit don't work.
So the Bishop Usher chart, which says the world began in 4,600 something years ago, the fundamentals use this idea. This is true within the calibrations of the fake of time, because it's just a little while ago the fall happened, and you could say 4,000 years ago. If it's not the beginning of creation, it's the beginning of the fall. Bishop Usher is talking about the fall.
The beginning of time.
Yeah, the fallen condition. So you realize, people, this all happens in a shorter time. Well, you know, relatively, there's no time, you know. Well, we don't even need to know about this. This is little man talk.
I have a very important question for Ion. Did did the new show Pan Am happen because I'm on Rewrite?
It most absolutely did.
I thought about that
yesterday,
Sue.
Sue makes the A-list.
We orchestrated that show, and if you recall, we made reference to it, that you'd be on the looky box.
So what is Pan Am?
Do you not recall?
No.
Oh, he probably didn't. He probably said it to some other Sue at another time.
You said something about I would be on the looky box?
Yes, in your session, you were asking about your fame.
Oh, my fame. Oh.
I don't recall
Pan
any
Am,
of that.
That's Sue on the looky box.
So, Sue, what is Pan Am?
It's a new television show that I haven't seen yet. I have only seen the trailers, but it's all about stewardesses in the 60s.
Real stewardess, when they had the sham pipple and you had the button on the napkin and they had CIA operatives planting folks and putting shit in people's briefcases so they won't make it through customs, which is really a test to see if the flight attendant, well, stewardess is what they called them then, could help run CIA ops in transcontinental flight.
So, Sue, is this an American show or Canadian?
Oh, it's American.
Okay, so you hear about this show. Did you think it was about you? Or did you think you
Bob,
were part of it?
I'm asking if
No. When did you get the notion? Did this question just come to you during this session?
Yes.
Okay, so you're saying, oh, there's a show out there, but maybe it's triggered because everything comes out of these sessions. Then any new TV shows, like we see Fringe, come from here. So they did stewardesses because the little man woke up to the idea of stewardesses because Sue went into the Iondom. Okay.
To Rewrite, yeah.
Yeah, and therefore that's when you're known. Zappa said you're not real unless you get on the media. Now you're not real unless you're part of Rewrite and Iondom. And then you cause things to happen in the illusory matrix.
So just as though no truly ascended one would be on the looky box, but doesn't mean that an ascended one can't say, I want to see a show about early flight and what fun that could be and what really went down.
So what will be manifested in the looky box because Legend's here?
Oh, it already is.
What is it?
Weeds.
Okay, what's mine? Do I have one?
Yes, you do. Eureka.
Okay.
You know that show, Barbara?
Yeah, I've seen it a couple times, but...
Okay, what about Renee? What show does she trigger? Or you're saying she gets the show she wants? Is that what you're saying, Ian?
Yeah, but Renee's is the new Dallas.
The new Dallas?
They're redoing Dallas for Renee.
Oh, boy.
Did you like the first Renee Dallas?
No. No,
but
that's why you want to redo
it again.
Yeah, redo it. Renee didn't like the first version.
But it's going to have Sue Ellen and the real Sue Ellen and Bobby and JR.
Oh, that's me. JR Bob Dobbs.
You don't want to be JR Ewing Bob.
I know, but that's where the JR Bob Dobbs from the Church of Jesus level may have come
now,
from.
Now, if we were involved, we'd have to have some Miss Ellie because that was our favorite, was Miss Ellie.
But you're not involved. It's Renee's show.
That's right. So the poor Miss Ellie and Jock giving.
So what show does Sasha get?
Renee, get your shoulder pads out and get that big hair up.
That bouffant, that Linda Gray hair, yeah. Sasha's is Warehouse 13.
Mm. How about Sheldon?
Yeah, Sheldon.
Doctor Who.
Carolyn.
Alphas.
Oh, yeah.
And Bob.
Twilight Zone.
Is that being redone?
Yes.
What about Ion?
Not did you say, Renee?
There goes the Pan Am flight.
There you go.
What about the Pan Am flight?
The noise sounded like a plane.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a truck going by. The
plane.
Yeah, so the Sheldon asked, something.
We make them. We don't have to have them.
Yeah. How about JW?
It's a great combination of fun things. He likes more the movie side.
Well, what movies were made for him?
There were just many, because he plays in that range.
Mm. So, and he has input into Squidbillies.
And others, yeah.
Yeah. So, it always ends up, remember this, Sasha, every session, Ian would find a pattern to put on everybody. So tonight
yeah.
It's the TV show.
Well, that's the easiest thing in the world. You just look at what is and answer your questions. The hard part is getting you clackers to ask questions.
Hey, Ian, was it Rod Stack who was the host of Twilight Zone, or was that Rod Serling?
Rod Sterling.
Sterling. What did Rod Stack do?
Robert Stack.
Yeah,
Robert Stack.
Mission Impossible or something like that.
He did.
Untouchables, right?
Untouchables.
Right, because let me tell you something. Dave Worster, in 1950, with his lover, Vern, later called Chris, was in an orgy in a gangster's place in L.A., and Robert Stack was one of... No. We can talk about it. It's out now. And all these stars were there, and Dave and Vern, they weren't stars. They had to leave because they would be killed because they were no consequence. But Robert Stack and all those guys were blackmailed from that point on. So, just a little side
because
element.
There was a murder that they weren't involved in, but they would have been blackmailed for it otherwise.
If it came out, yeah. They never solved the murder of the mafia guy's girlfriend, so it was okay. But Dave and Vern, they're saying, you're not well known, you're expendable. And so they left town, and Chris didn't get to do his singing stuff in L.A., Dave, you can even ask Sasha about this. We discussed this the other night with JW and Dave.